Man over there? No? Amen. It's great to be together. I'm excited for our time together. Thank you, Gary, for the communion. Thank you for the singing and for the welcome. It's great to, let me just reiterate, it's great to have the Touches here. Jason preached an incredible message last Sunday. It was great for all of us. I wish that everybody was here to hear it. If you weren't, please go online. It's online and listen to it. Amen. One of our prayers was for God to bring mature people into the church. And Jason and Rachel are very mature. And Lissa's father and mother are also joining us as well. Chris and Tina. And God is doing some incredible things. And I wanted to, if we could, just spend a little time praising the Lord. I think there's something to being grateful. There's something to being reminded of how incredible God is. I think we've got a couple slides here. Stop holding back, Jim. There you go. This is usually the time of year that we talk about a harvest. And we talk about a harvest from various aspects. Obviously, we think of people coming to Christ and these types of things. This morning, I'd like for us to focus on harvesting our blessings. Harvesting our blessings, gathering those up, and then doing something with those. Amen? So next slide is a harvest of blessings. And our text this morning will be Psalm 145. So if you've got your Bibles, I'm sorry, I don't have the whole Psalm 145 up there for you. What I would like is for you guys to share your Bibles or your electronic devices with each other. So everybody could look at the passages in the scriptures. And, you know, don't be ashamed if your fantasy football scores and all those things start coming up. Let somebody look on with you. Let's pray. Like, yeah, I would share it, but, you know. Let's relax in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray and then we'll jump in. God, thank you so much. As we think of the songs that we sung about being a faithful witness, about the encouragement of our souls, about you being greater. Father, the amazing grace, the chains that are gone, how you walk with us hand in hand. God, all of those songs are so fitting, even in the welcome as we've talked about the compassion that you have for us and being able to focus on that compassion. God, as we share and listen to communion, there's a weakness that befalls all of us, and you are enough. Amen. Father, we do lift up those in the synagogue shooting. We pray for their families. We pray for the lost. We even pray for the shooter. We pray for his family members. God, we pray so much for the country. We lift up those within the congregation that are in need of your blessed hand, who are experiencing right now your love. God, I also want to lift up my father to you. Amen. And I pray that you would give him the time that he needs to experience your glory, how you would like for that to be experienced. Father, we lift up Lana's cousin. Who is in a hospice state, that she would experience life long enough to experience your glory. And Father, we pray to process these things in a way that we see you. God, thank you so much for being an incredible, compassionate, and merciful God. We thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. This is a Psalm of David. And we'll just kind of break it down and then I'll share a little bit. But the goal is for us to kind of see the character of God, to even be able to develop a mindset of praise. a mindset of praise. In verse 1 of Psalm 145, Scripture says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. You know, in verses 1-3, it's about the kingship of God. It's about his kingship. And when you look at the very end, it's this commitment to praise God, to lift his name on high. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I want you to pray that God puts on your heart those unfathomable riches that you've experienced. And maybe you're in a place where you don't see those things, but you've seen them in other people's lives. Or you look in Scripture and you say, wow, God did that. In verse 4, it says, one generation will commend your works to another. You know, the older generation in those times was called to share about the greatness of God with the young folks. If you look at in the desert, you look at the travels to the promised land, it says that the young folks didn't have any mindset of God because it hadn't been told to them. There's a responsibility for us as an older generation to lift the Lord's name on high. Amen. To share about the things that he has done. Right. And our young folks, there's a responsibility to you to embrace those things like you would embrace the stories of your family. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. I don't know about you, but I remember sitting down with Dan and him talking about his cancer, his upcoming operation, seeing him cry, the things that he was thinking about. It brought me to tears. And for them to go in and not find what they thought they had found was incredible. Yes. I like what it says in the letters. I don't know if we're out of the woods yet, but the worst is behind us. Yeah. That is incredible. That is a story. If you don't have any God news to share with anybody, you should be going around sharing that. Yeah. Amen? I mean, in the same light, if you don't, and you have God news, but if you don't have any God news, you should be sharing God news out of the Scriptures. Amen? Those things are faith building. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassionate on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all men may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. This is a praise of the Lord and his kingship. And then in 13b it says, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Just let that sink in. I mean, you don't have to read it, but just close your eyes and let that sink into your soul. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food. You give them their food at the proper time. You give them their food at the proper time. Your open hand, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears the cries and hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Kingship, praise of his covenant of faithfulness, praise of the Lord's kingship, and praise of the Lord's covenant of fidelity. Fidelity. You know, there's something to us being committed to praising the Lord every day. Next slide. This is for many of you. I'm going to try to condense this story. But you've heard me talk about not knowing my real dad. You've heard me talk about growing up without him. The scenario that I grew up in, and amen for the kingdom of God. But this is my dad. He's 75 years old. That's three generations of Easters. That's my dad, that's me, that's my little brother, and my son. 75 years old, his name is Terry Easter. It's been 53 years that I've longed, that I've sought in many unhealthy ways my father. I grew up from a young age with the understanding that he wanted nothing to do with me and that I needed to let it go. The last time I heard that, it was yelled at me a year and a half ago. That's my dad. That's my brother. And my dad got to see his grandson. He's in Atlanta. And let me just say that all of this happening after 53 years is of God. This is unfathomable. How this all happened, I searched for my dad all of my life. I typed his name online and nothing ever came up. I've been on Ancestry.com twice. The first time I was on there, unsuccessful. The second time I got on there, And the second time I got on there, there was about 2 months and 3 days of nothing. I took a DNA test the second time around. And this all has spiritual ramifications, so just stay with me. So 2 months ago, I was on there, and it was like the same thing that had happened before. There was nothing. 2 months go by, and my first cousin, who unbeknownst to me is my first cousin, she texts me, she emails me, and she says, "Hey, who are you? Here's who my grandmother is, and here's who my mom is." Now, I know everybody on my mom's side, so I said, "This is my mom, this is my grandpa, this is, you know," I just kind of went up the charts, and then I just kind of didn't know this person's name, so I threw out, you know, "And my grandfather's name is Luke Easter." The next morning, about 4 o'clock, I look and there's an email. Luke Easter is my grandfather. Wow. After 53 years, I run into somebody and they say, "Luke Easter is my grandfather." Wow. "Who's your dad?" And I'm like, uh-oh. So I say, "My dad is Terry Easter." she hits me back and she says, Terry Easter is my uncle. Wow. He's still alive. Up until this point, I thought maybe he's dead. I'll never see him. He's alive. Do you want to meet him? I grew up in a household. No, we don't, you know, I don't want to disrupt his life and all these different things. It was 3 days of conversation, and my dad called me. He called me. And God knew exactly what I needed at the time. Because the first thing he said, it was a Saturday morning, he says, hello, Brandel. My name is Terry. And I go, hi, Dad. And he goes, hi, son. I've got your sister on the phone and my wife, and I could hear her crying in the background. And he goes, before I said anything, he goes, son, I said nothing. I never not wanted to see you. Wow. Now, you're with people who want you. And I love you, son. This was before I said anything. So in my mind, I'm going, this is exactly what I needed to hear. And he said this. This is of God, that he would say exactly what I needed to hear without prompting. Next slide. This is my brother and me, the first time that we met. Now, he was in Seattle. He wasn't supposed to be coming out to Atlanta. Thank you all for your prayers and your support and this. Being able to go out to Atlanta, but this is my younger brother. This is our hug. I didn't share the other picture that they've got of me on the other side because I was crying. But this is when we landed in Atlanta. This is all of God. When we landed in Atlanta, I got a text and it said, "Welcome home, big brother," from my sister. And so this was our uniting. We talk every day, several times a day. That's my little brother. You know, they don't let me. I thought, man, maybe I get to be the youngest or something. But I'm still the oldest. So he's 49 years old. His name is Terry Jr. Little T. I got a little B. There's a little T. And so that's that picture right there. Now let me just say something about significance. This all has spiritual meaning. This for many of you, you've grown up with your parents. I want you to understand something. As an African-American, you're in the United States. You're from a different land, different culture. All of that is taken from you. So your identity and being able to trace your identity is a bit more difficult. There are habits that are in our community that have been cultured into us. I want you to understand this. If an African-American is a stud, great worker, all these different things, they bounce him around, he has kids, and they people buy him, and then he goes and he has all these kids. So you're related to tons of people on some level. And then these kids, they're born and they grow up without a father. Does that make sense? I know that may be hard to understand, but it's just kind of a regular thing. And it's through slavery. Now, I want you to understand this. As I looked on our family tree, my cousin Coco, she's my first cousin. She's in Texas. She's kind of the orchestrator of all of this. She showed me the family tree, and there's kind of a history of that whole slavery culture of how kids are had without fathers. Yeah. I'm part of it. This year, Wendy and I have been praying for that cycle to be broken. And so I reconnected with my kids. I made that effort. And God blessed us with me getting to meet my dad. God blessed us. And so this is being embraced in the family. Yeah? I can't even explain how much it means. Next slide. This is, you can't see it, but that's Brandel. That's my sister. That's my brother, and that's me, and that's a Russian wolf dog. and that's their backyard, and they've got five of them. They're crazy, but that's our family right there. That's my family. Now, being able to experience that has been a life changer. And I would say this, all of this happened because of God. It's something that I wasn't really expecting, but God did this. Brandel, God did this. Caden, God did this. Church, God did this. He brought me back into this. You know how I'm a different man because I heard my dad say, I love you. I'm a different man because I heard my dad say, I never didn't want to see you. I didn't know about you. My cousin said, I don't see my uncle acting that way because he's got other kids by other people and he's with them. It's not in his character. So to hear him say those things, I 53 years of invalidation, 53 years of searching for somewhere to be. 53 years, and I'm trying to be careful here, of being told I'm not somebody's son and that they didn't want me to have their name. Imagine walking around with the name of someone that didn't want you to be their son and didn't want you to have their name. I don't know if you can understand how deeply that cuts. You could be as busy as you want. You could do all of these different things. But at the end of the day, it's like, man, there's just a sadness about me. There's just, even when things go well, I'm kind of walking around with this name. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't realize it until I sit down with my dad and I say, Dad, can I change my name to your name? And he says, it would be an honor. To hear my family members say, yeah, that's an Easter. Boy, you seen your grandfather? You look just like, look at this, you look just like him. Here's the spiritual connotation. And that's all spiritual because God orchestrated all of that. That's unfathomable. That's worthy of being on TV. And I'm giving you the short version. When we become Christians, I think it's important that we understand how much God loves us and that we're part of his family. Right. You know, once my dad said that, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Right. I'm in. Yeah. It doesn't matter what goes wrong. I'm in. Yeah. I'm an Easter. Yeah. I'm loved. We should feel that from God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. When God says that to us, but why don't we? I boil it down to this. It was getting into the presence of my father, looking him in the eyes, touching his hand, hearing him say what he said. I was good. There's something to being in the presence of God. Amen? You know, when I look at that hug of me and my brother, that's how we should all be. You know, the differences I have with my little brother, with my little sister, all of those different things, those are whatever they are, but those are my people. Straight up. Don't talk bad about them. That's us in the kingdom. That's how we should embrace each other. Amen? I mean, I don't want to do anything to hurt my little sister or my little brother. Do I want to help them? Of course, but I'm going to be very careful in the way that I do that. And I'm going to make sure that they feel loved. Right. And then as we're a family, that's a beautiful picture. How do we present ourselves? You know what my brother and sister, my dad's wife of 40 years, they all said? They said, you know, we're going through a difficult time because my dad has pancreatic cancer. The reason why I went last week was because they said, his wife called and said, hey, he could go today, he could go tomorrow, he could go in a week, he could go in a couple of months, but it's pretty touch and go right now. So we went and saw him. Randall got to go. But what they kept on saying is, even though we're going through a difficult time, there is a blessing that we have received in family. And all of this is possible because of the greatness of God. When I look at them, when I talk about them, when I engage them, when I walk around, there's a level of confidence that's here. There's a level of stability that's come. There's a level of, you know what? Some people may not agree. Some people may have a different opinion, and they're entitled to that, but I'm good. That's how we should feel as Christians. I want to say this. Thank you so much for sharing in this journey with me, those of you that have shared in it. Thank you so much for allowing me to share it with you. Thank you so much for your prayers and support. Thank you so much for experiencing something that we have to be grateful for. I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't have any God news, this is God news, and feel free to share it. Amen? God wants to bring everyone into his family. God wants his family to shine. God wants his family to love like we've been loved by God. Let's praise God. Let's lift his name up on high. Let's vow to do that on an everyday basis. Amen? Difficulties and all of those things, yeah, they come with the full package of family and life as fallen man. But God is still great. And this is a testament to God's glory. Let's pray. God, we're grateful. It's hard to bring your story to life, to bring your awesome power to life. But God, I'm so grateful for your compassion, your mercy, and your feeding at the proper time. God, there are so many different things that are going on that maybe we're unaware of, that maybe we're seeing the difficult parts and we're missing, Father, the story that's going to bring an end and bring your glory. Father, this was a 53-year journey, and it's hard to fathom your greatness, the intricacies, the different things that you've allowed to happen in my life, in our lives, that have sparked the things that help us to see you. Father, we pray in Jesus' name to be people that are committed to lifting up your name, even in difficult circumstances. Father, we pray to be a people that embrace who you are. Our faith, we think beyond what we can do, beyond what this culture says, beyond the history of the world. We think of things because of who you are. And we move with confidence. And we move with security. And Father, if there's anybody in this room in need of you, in need of being reconciled to you, in need of, they've been searching, Father, we lift them up to you. We pray, Father, for courage to be vulnerable, to be real with where we're at, and to allow you to bring healing. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for your perfect timing. And thank you so much for the gift of you and your family. We thank you and we praise you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church.